Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. And this week's letter, the feature article, is all about home-based business and home-based business week, which is this week, by the way. Don't forget to give a high five for me to any home-based business owners out there that you know. And if you are one, good on you. Floyd Hurd is our guest, folks. He's the president of Rousing Creativity Group. He's the author of the book Rousing Creativity, which I told you about a long time ago. But he's also the author of a brand-new book called Live Like You Mean It, The Exhilaration of Being in Control. He's an international speaker, and I have a question about that for him in just a minute. But he's also just one of the most creative minds that I've ever run into, and he's our good friend. But don't forget to buckle your seatbelts. Floyd Hurd is in the building. Floyd, welcome back.
James, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm wonderful. How about
now,
you?
Explain this to me. Someone introduced, whoever that was introducing you, introduced you as humbly accepted.
Yes.
The word humble has never been associated with you since I've known you, and that's been a long time.
Floyd, well, they call me Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble.
Who calls you that?
Everybody.
Well, they call you that to your face, but you hear what they say behind your back, pal.
Are you saying that that little note of sarcasm when they say it was not just a figment of my imagination?
Nope, you took it seriously.
I have a question for you, Floyd.
You cannot ask me anything.
It says here that you're an international speaker. Is that the time you made the junket to Mexico?
You mean leaving the country for that 6 months?
Yeah, and
I talked to some people down there. You know, I was interviewed by the police down there several times.
That's when you called home and said, don't pay the ransom, I think I can escape, right?
And that's when I called you and said, Jim, could you send me some pesos? And your answer was humbly, no, I will not.
I'm not going to bail you out of jail. Hey, Floyd, let's talk about being creative. What do we got to do to be creative in our organization?
Well, you know, creativity is really a fun thing. And let me just start with something that I think you know, I've written books and I speak on it and I do all sorts of research and things like that. But not long ago, I came to a conclusion about that I think was somewhat enlightening. I'm going to try to explain it to you in English because I know it. I'm going to use really small words with you.
Please do that. Monosyllabic words.
Okay, your volume is getting really low, so I can hardly hear you.
Okay.
And it's not my phone because I have a new phone.
All right, go ahead.
The thing I'm learning about creativity is when I see something that someone has done that is creative, I always want to analyze it. How did they come to that? And one of the things that I find is absolutely intriguing is they didn't necessarily believe that B should follow A. Now, I know this sounds simplistic, but so often when you look at something, it has to do with someone saying, you know, instead of being A, B, C, let's make it A, B, L. Hmm. And just allow yourself the ability not to follow the sequence of events that are so inculcated in us early on in our life. That's really all it is. When I watch someone put a salt and pepper shaker on a chessboard, you've seen that probably at some point.
Of course.
I go, how did they come to that conclusion? And all they did was say, it doesn't have to be a circle. It doesn't have to be this. It can be a number of other things.
Right.
So that seems like a really simplistic realization, and I don't mean for it to be, because you've heard me talk about this, and it's in my books and all that sort of stuff, a place called Breakpoint.
Mm-hmm.
When you're confronted with something that's new and different or an option that you might have had, the general reaction we all have is to do what we've always done. Mm-hmm. Because it worked maybe pretty well, it didn't work, it wasn't stellar, but it worked okay. And I have tried so hard in my career to tell people, look, when you get to a decision point, just stop. That's so important to say, what am I choosing? Why am I choosing that? And once I can get people to stop and do that, then a whole new world opens up that allows them to be creative. I mean, do wonderful, exciting, neat things they've never thought of before.
Folks, this breakpoint thing that Floyd's talking about really meant a lot to me. Floyd, I've got a quote here that I actually quoted Floyd in my book, and this is from Floyd's book, Rising Creativity. It is not what we decide to do, but how we decide it that matters. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you absolutely cannot do that if your first reaction is all the stuff you've already done, and the things that restrict you are all the taboos, what people might say, how they might think about you, could it go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the analysis that one has to make is, generally speaking, we move into things with catastrophic expectations. We
right.
think it's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But at breakpoint, you ask yourself, what can go wrong here?
Hold on to that thought, Floyd. We're
going
to come right back to the
breakpoint
with Floyd Hurt right after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us.
I'm just beginning to see.
We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. And also, Floyd, give us your website, please.
Jim, you know something? I don't have a website anymore.
Did you do away with your website?
I did away with my website. I'm going to redo it. You know why? Because I got tired of... I don't know why I did that. You know, and I'm completely revamping everything. And
Mr.
I said,
Creativity doesn't have a website. Hey, Floyd, how do we find your books?
You go to Barnes & Noble, go to Amazon, you know, they're all over
right.
the place.
And that's H-U-R-T, folks, Floyd Hurt, and that's Live Like You Mean It. That's the newest one, The Exhilaration of Being in Control. It's a really, really important book. It's a very thought-provoking book, and I know you'll enjoy it.
You let that notion I don't have a website just go by too easily. do you know the courage it takes not to have a website?
I'm impressed.
I don't want to be. I have a cell phone that I turn on when I want to, and I have a website that I open.
Well,
when
you're independently wealthy, you can do things like that, Floyd.
Well, see, I'm so poor that doesn't make any difference.
Floyd, what's the break point? What, let's get back to the break point because that's where we left off. And folks, this is a very important point. This break point that Floyd's talking about. Go ahead, Floyd.
All right. The problem with that, as I was saying before, Jim, that I think so often in our life. You know, we want things, and I'm not talking about goodies. We want a better life. We want a more interesting, experiential things to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Live Like You Mean It's all about. The book is really about finding and making experiences. And I work really as hard as I can possibly work, which is not an awful lot, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I work really hard to try to talk to people about the quality of their experiences. And the quality of your experiences is directly related to your ability to walk away from all the past prejudices and biases and things that you already have.
All the baggage.
I mean, you know, and people go, oh, well, I couldn't do it any other way. Don't you see? Well, the only answer is, no, I don't see that. You know, there are, no matter what you confront, there are always hundreds and thousands of options. And the difficulty is that people will not take that pause, that breakpoint pause, and say, how can I do this differently? And I'm talking about when I started my company years ago, I said, look, what are other people doing? And what would I like to do that I've never done before? Those kinds of things are the most exhilarating, and that's why I say the exhilaration of being in control. You stop and you say, I can actually control the outcome of this to a degree, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be different. It's going to be more interesting. And you ask your significant other, what would you like to do that we've never done before? And the first thing they do is, oh, well, I could never do that. Well, of course you can. I want to go hitchhike across. I mean, I hitchhiked across Africa one year. People go, oh, you'll be killed. You can't do that. I thought, well, so what? You know, I don't really care. You know, my mom and my dad thought it was a pretty bad idea that they'd have to come get my dead body in the Congo somewhere. But I
well,
said,
you didn't. When I see them, when you say you don't care, that makes people think that you're reckless. But the thing is the reason you it's probably not. I would disagree with you and say that because I know how much you love life. Not that you don't care, but that you felt like that the experience that you were going to have was worth the bargain.
Absolutely. Everything is a cost-value relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is cost-value. And, you know, all decisions we make are cost-value related. And the difficulty we all have is that we add too much cost. The expense of making this change is much greater than the value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of, you know, everyone always acts only one way. No one ever does anything that is anything except egotistical. There's no such thing as an altruistic activity. And you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
But every single thing comes back down to how you think you're going to feel when you do it. I'm saying that most people say, I will feel better about myself if I don't take this chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying you will feel better about yourself if you stop at breakpoint, think about it, and open up options to yourself. In your business, it's the same thing. We've always done it this way. Pause and ask yourself this question. What if I couldn't do it this way? What if that was no longer available to me? Now, you see, that opens up a whole new
arena. Don't you think,
though,
Floyd, that the problem people have with getting to and beyond the breakpoint is their love of comfort?
Oh, sure. You know, I am more comfortable here than I would be there. And my answer is, how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes,
it seems frightening. It seems like I won't like that over there. But how do I know until I try? And that's where the breakpoint comes in, getting through the breakpoint but allowing yourself to imagine the possibilities.
And once you do it, once people start doing that, it can become a habit. And I'm not talking about recklessly running around. You know, I always want to drive a car 130 miles an hour through a school zone. Not a good idea. I mean, that's not the thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that you say to yourself, I really want to start my own business.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Jim, you and I don't have to talk about how complicated that is for some people, how scary that is.
Right.
The risks are huge. But guess what? Once you start, you are now in control of your life instead of someone else deciding they're going to downsize or do what are they going to do to you. I mean, granted, you're not free when you have your own business, ever. You know, you work mm-hmm. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you're doing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so afraid of trying these things. And people stay in relationships much longer than they should. And they look at the end of their life, they get to be 55 years old, and they go, you know, this was really rotten.
Well, you know, Floyd, you said you're not free. You're consumed by your business. But the beauty of it is it's your definition of freedom.
Absolutely.
You get to decide what that is. You get to decide what that looks like. And that's what I like. That's what I like about being a small business owner. I work harder than I've ever worked in my life, maybe except when I was on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my definition. I'm the one who made that decision and at my break point. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come with our good friend Floyd Hurt, the author of Live Like You Mean It and Rousing Creativity. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Floyd Hurt. Don't unbuckle your seatbelts, folks. Floyd's still here. We never know what's going to happen. Any minute, something really crazy could happen. Floyd, one of the things that I found when I've been willing to go into the realm of the breakpoint, as you talk about, and to really be creative and to really think new now, as you say, is that once I do that a few times, and even if it is a little painful, even if there is something that kind of thumps me a little bit because I entered some new territory and I didn't know how to take the curves, so to speak. Once I live through that, though, and I realize that, well, you know, it hurt just a little bit, but there was really a lot of benefit there, too, a lot more benefit than the pain. Once I get to that point, then when I contemplate the next break point, it's a little easier to do, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that pain that comes along with that, and I'll use again the title of Live Like You Mean, is there's a degree of exhilaration in that. Because, you know, human beings are novelty-seeking creatures. We like new and different things. We don't want to do them because we also don't like necessarily the risk that goes with it. But when someone thrusts something on you that's a little new and a little different, a little interesting, after it's all done, you go, wow, that was cool. I didn't realize it was going to be so much fun. You know, there's nothing better than a surprise. You know, people love to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to want to avoid it because we always think on a personal level, well, think of all the stuff that could go wrong. No, think of all the stuff that could go right.
Right.
Don't think about the stuff that can go wrong. And in your business world...
But see, Floyd, that's where we come back to the comfort. Because we always think about what could go wrong because those are the things that take us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, but with the comfort zone becomes also... Well, you know, it's Thoreau talked about living lives of quiet desperation. And most people do. You know, 55% or more of people don't like their job. They hate their job. Okay? And that's a pretty bad statistic. So your comfort zone means you're going in... Because you've got a job, that doesn't sound very comfortable. You'd hate it every time you get up in the morning, you hate that job. That doesn't sound very comfortable. You've got a relationship you hate. That doesn't sound very comfortable. But we resolve ourselves into what Thoreau took as quiet desperation, into what I call resolved desperation. Mm. I can't do anything about it. I've got a mortgage. We'll get a smaller house. You know, take your life in your hands and control it. Otherwise, you're going to wind up 65 years old, looking around and saying, I missed it. I missed all the glorious stuff that was there when I was 18 and 20. I missed all the things I should have done.
All the possibilities that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine what they were because you didn't even give them a chance.
Well, I think the one of the saddest statistics I've ever read was they did a study of people who were 80 years and older. The vast majority, 80-something percent, said the one thing they would do if they could live their life over was take more risks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... You know, you've taken risks. Look at where you are. Look how rich you are.
Yeah.
Look how handsome you are. Well, back on that one a little bit.
That's true,
didn't I, Jim?
Well, one of the things that I like to say to myself, Floyd, is that I try to do is I try to make myself available to the possibilities.
Oh, sure.
And see, I like saying it that way because what that does is that lets me know, that says to me, you know, I'm going to step out there. I'm going to meet the world halfway, and I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see what the possibilities are and do that risk reward analysis that you talked about a little bit
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely.
And then take a chance. Maybe take a small chance at first.
You call it the availability of possibilities. I call it the conditions for the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
One always, and if you're a business leader. Okay, you've got to make the conditions for the possibility of new things to come around. They're not necessarily going to come around. I mean, it's not necessarily going to happen. The chicken is not going to lay the golden egg because you put a nest there. But the chicken will definitely not lay that golden egg if you don't make room for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to say to yourself, what are the conditions for the possibility of growth? New things, exciting new options opening up. What are they? And that means reading books you have never read before. Talking to the guy on the mall with the purple hair. Allowing yourself to go into the little bar down the street you've never been into because it's a biker bar. Okay, so you get knifed. You get to meet new people in the hospital. Come on, think about it. I mean, you can't let these catastrophic
expectations... Don't unbuckle those seatbelts, folks. He's not through yet.
I mean, think about it. You know, some of the most interesting things that have happened to me have been things that have appeared to be pretty nasty.
You just go places and things happen, don't you?
Sure, I had malaria in Kampala, Uganda, and I spent 3 days, and some really great guys helped me out.
And you know, folks, Floyd's the only guy I know who can actually brag about that. Floyd Hurd, thank you for being here. Good job today.
James, try to behave.
It's always a pleasure. Floyd Hurd, ladies and gentlemen, live like you mean it. Check it out wherever fine books are sold and a couple of places where they're not so fine. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Don't forget to imagine the possibilities. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.